And now, get ready, folks. It's time for Banter with Bob Sherwood and Dan Snell. Banter. And now, here's Bob and Dan.
Okay, guys and gals, it's Thursday, 17, 18, 19, 20. That means it's March 20th. There's so many things happening. I don't know where to start. I just don't know where to start. They're happening around the world. Russia, Putin talks to, President Trump. Israel goes ahead and bombs the Hamas because they didn't release hostages or something. People are burning Tesla cars. The old vice presidential candidate with Kamala Harris. Tim Walz. He was joking about how, I get such a big kick out of watching the Tesla stock go down. I guess he didn't realize that the pension fund for Minnesota, the retirement fund, has got $320 million of Tesla stock in it. And every time he pushed it down, they lose another $3 or $4 million. So he probably doesn't know that because he probably doesn't know what's going on in his own state. I feel kind of sorry for him in a way that he has to basically get press by trying to criticize a company that's building cars in America. Oh my gosh, let's make sure this company goes away. Did he forget about SpaceX bringing the astronauts back? Did he forget about Starlink giving people in North Carolina and California access to Wi-Fi communications? I don't think he even understands how Starlink works or why it's valuable. But those of you who do know, they have 5 million subscribers at about $150 a month. And most people say they're worth $300 or $400 billion. And Musk, I don't think he's going to go public with it. He wants to keep it private. And I don't blame him. If you got to take all this crap from people like Walz. Walz would probably be saying, go to California where Starlink is being used and burn all those Starlink things. I'll bet you he couldn't tell the difference between Starlink and DirecTV.
Well, Bob, you know what? I got my Nike hat on. We're just going to do it today. We're just going to banter. So you started off with that. He probably doesn't know. Some financial guy in the state of Minnesota is managing their pension. So he probably didn't know that. Doesn't really serve him well or serve the country well that he goes after Tesla.
That's stupid.
I'm a little bit surprised, but he's trying to stay out there in the news. Trump and Musk are in the news. So Walz, we got the Democrats, got the classic bang, 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 got to attack each other. Nobody gets served by all that negativity. It doesn't look good for.
Well, I don't think the Republicans attack the Democrats at all. I think they defend it a little bit when, Musk came back and said to Walz, well, I know you're happy when the stock goes down, but guess what? I'm happy when I see pictures of Trump and
that's why we have it. We call it banter because that's just plain not true. The Republicans every single day attack the Democrats and blame them for all the spending, bad spending. Bad spending's been going on for 40 years.
What do they blame the Democrats for?
Well, they take a shot at the Democrats every day.
Well, give me an example.
Okay. President Trump erroneously thinks he has the actual true official Declaration of Independence. He points it out on Fox News and said it has to be behind these curtains here because you can't have the light do it. He thought it was the real. And then he says at the end, he says Joe Biden would have never thought about that. He probably doesn't even know anything about the Declaration of Independence.
Wait a minute. It's not real?
What?
Are you saying it's not real?
Absolutely not. It's a copy.
Where's the real one?
Well, it's in the it's hermetically sealed, vacuum sealed in the you know, in the Library of not Library of Congress, but there. And I've went and visited it.
So
you probably
what I'm trying to understand is your comment about Trump. Is it that he didn't know he didn't have the original, or that he just made a negative comment about Biden?
Well, it just I guess I'm tying the two together. Just as governor of Minnesota, right, made a stupid comment about things, the president didn't look very intelligent, thinking he had the actual Declaration of Independence, and he piled on to what I was saying. He piled on at the end, and he said, Joe Biden would never have that here. He took a shot at Joe Biden. So both sides take stupid shots.
Why is that Joe Biden?
What?
Did Joe Biden have a declaration in the Oval Office?
I don't know, but he certainly did not have one like Trump's displayed.
Well, did he have anyone? I mean, I think
I imagine there is a Declaration of Independence somewhere in the Oval Office, but everybody knows it's a copy.
I'm kind of disappointed. Even defending Waltz is just stupid.
I mean, I'm not defending him. I said it was not smart of him to do that.
No. Is he an idiot or not?
I don't think he's an idiot. No, anybody he's not an idiot. In this case, he made a poor choice.
How would you describe him?
I would say he made a poor choice. He's better than that. He's a small town Nebraska boy, so he's better than that. He doesn't need to take shots at people.
I've never seen him do anything right yet. What has he done? I can't imagine. What policy has he put forward? What speech has he done that was good? I can't think of anything he's done positively at all.
Well, it's been a long time since he's been in the news. And in his life, he's educated young students. He's coached football. He's served in Congress. He's been a governor. So he's served.
I'll grant him that. He also, when the people were coaching all the police offices in Minnesota, he didn't do anything about it.
That's not accurate. I can find you where Trump said we're working with the governor of Minnesota and the governor's doing a good job.
Did he do something to the people that torched those offices? That's all I want to know. You may be correct. I don't know. As far as I know, the people that torched those offices never were held accountable.
Well, you know, that's a long time back. It could be reviewed. I know that there is a clear video where on the phone that President Trump was having with all the governors of the United States, he called out. He said, I'm working with the governor of Minnesota is doing a good job there, and we're going to support them. So they did work together in that fleeting moment.
Okay, so we don't know if he ever held anybody accountable, he being Waltz.
I don't know the answer to that. Doesn't make him bad. They said we don't know. The facts are we don't know. Okay, move on to Ukraine. What do you think about this fast pace? This is going to be a lightning round. Ukraine.
Yeah. What about it?
Well, what do you think?
About
where are
what?
We at? Where do you think we're at?
All I know is what I read, and what I read is that Putin has said the same thing he said for the last 15 or 20 years. Ukraine cannot become a member of NATO, and I don't want military troops there. That's what he said. That's what we promised him that in 1995 or 96 and broke the promise later, and he's saying the same thing now. He hasn't changed his tune. He's very consistent.
I don't think. How did we break the promise? I don't recall it. Give me the information.
Well, what happened was later, of course, we sent people over. And the guy that knows the whole story here, by the way, is Robert F. Kennedy. If you ever want to go to his website, take a look. He knows the story. I've heard it exactly. But apparently sometime in early 2000, Kamala, and then later Kamala went over and said, hey, we're going to support him to being in NATO. So we changed our tune.
In early 2000. That was.
I don't know exactly. No. I know Kamala didn't do it in early 2000. I'm saying Kennedy said it started about the year 2000 when we said, hey, we're going to put him into NATO. So all I'm driving at is that Putin has said, hey, look, he said the same things John F. Kennedy said when Russia put the missiles in Cuba. Hey, we're not going to have missiles next door to our country. And that's all he's asking.
And I don't recall that the United States or NATO was going to place nuclear weapons in the Ukraine.
Well, of course, that's not the point. The point is if they are NATO, they can do that if they're a NATO person. So all he said the same thing, and I'm in favor of it. I'm saying, hey, as far as I'm concerned, promise we're never going to put Ukraine in NATO. End of story. Promise that will not put military troops ever in the Ukraine. I think that's fine. I'd agree to that in a minute. I think Trump will too. The problem will be Zelensky, because Zelensky is going to have to give up part of his country, and so what?
Well, I think that Zelensky's apparently willing to do that. He,
I
you know,
hope
when
he
he came
is.
to the White House and all the brouhaha there, and a very sad day in the Oval Office, when Zelensky said, "I don't know if we can trust Putin," he has said this before, and then he's gone back on it. And just to give you an example, in the last 72 hours, so Trump and Putin have a call. The White House issues the press statement that they want to have better relations between the United States and Russia, and they want to find peace, and we're going to go to the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, and have peace talks.
That's what they should be doing, right?
And Putin said that he won't attack certain specific energy or
Infrastructure, yeah. I don't
and
know.
Bob, literally 6 hours after that call, Putin attacked and
Well,
sent
no,
drone strikes on,
I'll
let me
admit it.
finish, on
I admit that
hospitals
I
and
don't
citizens.
know. Will you admit what you don't know? That's what Zelensky says.
No,
We
that's a
don't know
fact of
what
the
goes
matter. Everybody knows
on.
he had sent drone
I
attacks.
don't know. Everybody doesn't know that. I
Well,
don't know.
it's been public knowledge. It's not what
Well, I
Zelensky
don't know
said.
it. How come I don't know it then?
Well, you just perhaps didn't hear that news.
No. You just made my point. Knowing is different than hearing what the news reports. I have no personal knowledge of that action that you're describing. That's what I just said. I have no personal knowledge of it. You may have. You may have just came back from the Ukraine and saw those drones do it. So I just want to know. I don't want to become like MSNBC or CNN, any of them. I want to just say what
Fox
I
News.
know. I
Fox
want to
News
show.
reported.
No. I just want to know what I know as opposed to what I report. So I don't disagree that somebody reported that, but I don't in my mind say, oh, I know it. In fact, if you listen to news, they're very careful about that. They'll say, so and so reported this or so and so reported that. They never say they know it. And that's all I'm saying. When I disagree with you,
So
I'm
you're
not
looking at a
disagreeing.
word. You're going
I'm
for a
looking at
particular word.
the way it works in
The
real
fact
life.
of the matter, the fact of the matter
Not a
is,
fact,
whether
Dan.
you
It's
know
not
it or
a fact.
not, Russia attacked the same day. They
Would you admit that you have no personal knowledge of that?
I trust the international
Okay.
BBC,
Would you
Fox
admit you
News,
have no personal
CNN.
knowledge of it?
Well, that's a game. That's a
Well, that's
game,
just a
Bob.
fact. I want
Do
to
you
also.
wait, Bob? Would you admit that you have no personal knowledge that the person you're talking to, me, isn't an AI figure?
Yes.
I could be AI.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I'll admit that I have
Sure.
no personal knowledge of
Yeah.
actually being at the
Because
hospital.
I admit what I don't know. And you get guys like Waltz or Kamala Harris, they don't know the difference between personal knowledge.
Kamala Harris.
Pamela Harris, I'm going to start calling her
Kamala,
Pamela.
like a comma.
Anyway, whatever her name is. They don't know the difference between personal knowledge and what they hear or what somebody tells them, right?
That's the
That's the
problem in
thing about it.
America. That's why we're so divided, is that
Oh, okay.
people buy into everything they hear.
I don't know who these people are. I can't, let me tell you, Dan, I don't speak for America. I don't speak for people. I only speak for myself. So if I say, I don't say America is this or America is that or people are that, because I don't know that. You know, I don't know any of that. All I know is what I feel about what I see. And I always say, based on what I see in the reports, I think the war could be over in a couple of days if Zelensky would just say, okay, I'll give up part of the country over to Russia. Then I think they could do one more thing. They could simply say, anybody in the Ukraine, and there are people there who prefer to live in Russia, move to those areas. And the people that do not want to live in Russia, of these new areas, they move back to Ukraine.
And as part of that, then, do you think that the commitment to, as part of this, stopping the war and peace, would be that no longer will Russia attack Ukraine?
Well, sure. I mean, we don't know if they're going to keep to that or not keep to it. We don't know that. But from a standpoint of will they agree to it, I'd say yes. If they break it in a year or two, then we have to deal with that. But we don't have to deal with hypotheticals. If we can get them to stop the war now, I say get them to stop the war. If they break the peace 2 years from now, then we got to deal with that.
So you agree that there should be some accountability factors, or that a combination of Europe and the United States and holds Russia
I think
accountable?
Europe is a waste of time. I don't think they're going to do squat. Because why? Because they get all their energy from Russia. As Trump says it, Russia has all the cards. They cut off gas to Europe. Europe can't heat their homes. Europe's not going to do anything. They depend on Russia.
Well, I'm glad to see that 100%. Donald Trump can count on you.
Yeah, he can. He absolutely can count on me. He can count on me for any variety of reasons. One is he's just so transparent about what he does, and he's candid about it. He admits there's problems, but he's tackling them, right? He says, "Oh yeah, we have a lot of issues with Russia. We have a lot of issues with Ukraine, but we've got to do something to stop people from killing each other." He's trying to do that. Will he be successful? I don't know. Will Russia break the treaty in 2 years? I don't know. And he doesn't know. But we got to start somewhere, or otherwise, the next thing we know, maybe we'll be over there killing people again. It's happened before.
Yeah, well, I just think both sides need to give some, and both sides need to have some confidence that they are going to
Well,
get something.
I hope they can be a little more precise than that. Of course, they
Okay,
got to give up things, right?
so,
What's next?
okay, lightning round. Okay,
Yep.
so next subject. And this is one, you have a background as expert witness in legal
Okay.
matters, courtroom matters. I'm very intrigued how both sides do it, Republicans and Democrats, when they want to go against something that the president or an administration, whether it's Democrat or they go and find a judge. They go judge shopping, judge hunting, right? To find
Right.
a
So
judge,
what's the
wherever he
question?
is.
What's the issue?
If the Republicans want to go against a Democrat, they find somebody in Texas or Florida. If the
Right.
Democrats, they get somebody in California, they find a judge that says stop, halt. So how, and I'm not a fan, if you know who Stephen Miller is, number two in the White House, deputy chief of staff, but he is the author of most of Trump's speeches. I don't like his rhetoric and his style, but the one thing he did say that I heard out there was that I thought I agreed with is he said a little quadrant of America, a district judge should not be able to tell the president of the United States, hey, you can't do that. So what say you, Bob Sherwood, with more legal expert? How what would be a solution? The S of winsome is,
Well, I'm not a legal expert.
well, you're a more
I'm not an
knowledgeable.
expert on judges.
You're an
I can,
expert
you know what
witness.
a judge was before they were a judge?
A human being and a lawyer.
Human being with biases, right?
Yeah.
And when they become a judge, they don't leave that behind. A lot of them do, but many of them don't,
And it's
right?
not right that we should have this brouhaha going on. It's just part of the division. And I get a kick out of it because I don't think anybody disagrees that we should send the bad hombres. I like that term.
No,
That,
somebody does disagree.
well, no, they don't disagree that we should send the bad hombres. They
Okay.
disagree that they think Trump disregarded a process, and he's using that, not War Powers Act, but whatever that
I don't
1798.
care what he uses. If there are killers and they're illegal aliens,
Here's
fly them
exactly what I'm
out.
talking about, Bob. Nobody disagrees with you on that. I don't
Right.
disagree
So
with
what's the
you,
question then? What's the
but the
question?
question is that it the issue is not whether we send the bad hombres. We should. The issue is, should there be some measured and balanced controls? And until we get all the facts, we can't really say, are all of those 263 people that went, there's some people saying, hey, they weren't all the bad guys from Venezuela.
There's probably one in there that was a nice guy. Maybe he only
Yeah,
killed
and
two or three people. But now here's where you were talking about trust. I trust that Homan, whoever else is doing this, has done the best due diligence he can. Is it possible one of those guys was a nice person? Yes.
okay, it isn't about the
Does that
people there,
change
though.
my
The
mind
people
about
is
anything?
my question to you was, And well, I know how I feel about it. I don't think a district judge should be able to stop the president.
They're not going to stop the president.
Yeah. Well,
just because he made a ruling doesn't mean they have to stop him. You realize that he can.
I understand
that. Yeah. Okay. So that's the whole point. I mean, they can fight it all day long, but the point is, if he wants to send these guys back on an airplane and Homan can do it, they're going to do it, regardless of what the judge says.
Well, last night, I really enjoyed Chris Cuomo.
I want to say one thing. Judge has no enforcement power.
Yeah. So all they can do is fine him, hold him in contempt, whatever they do.
Hold him in contempt, right?
I don't think Donald Trump's going to be bothered by that at all.
That's my whole point. I mean, the real story here, in my mind, is not that this judge is biased or activist or whatever he is. I don't even care about any of that. The real story is why we think it's important what he says. Screw him. These guys are killers. I'm going to count on Homan and Trump to make sure they've done their due diligence. Send them back.
Yeah. Christi Noem. I like Tom Homan. Tom Homan was on Chris Cuomo. He did acknowledge he doesn't know. He doesn't have a list. You know, I think what the judge was asking for is give me a full list of the 263 people and their association. Yeah, probably not an
Why does he need that? Why does he care?
Well, I think what he's asking for that information. He's a United States judge. Based on the legal system, he's entitled to ask that question.
I don't know if he is or isn't. I'm not a lawyer.
Well, and I know they have to argue it back and forth.
Trump's side have disagreed with what he's asking for. But the real point is, why does he need that? Why does he need to know? Let's say he's in his office and they give him a list of all the names. Then what is he going to do? Nothing.
I don't know. I'm not taking his side. I think we should deport those type of people.
I'm not taking anybody's side. What I'm saying is that the questions he's asking are ludicrous. Yeah. They have no meaning. They have no relevancy in the issue.
Okay.
I think what his point is this, in my mind. He is arguing a nuanced point. And a very nuanced point. He's really kind of saying, I'm not against you sending the people back, but I'm against you sending the people back based on this 200-year-old law or something, which is absolutely stupid, right? So he may think he's doing a great job as a jurist, but he's just wasting everybody's time and he's wasting your money. As a taxpayer, he's causing everybody to spend more money. The DOJ, all the press. I mean, the press gets so excited about this. We've got to tell them what time the planes took off. We couldn't bring the planes back. We got to tell them who was on the plane. It's just stupid. And earlier, you kind of like start out by saying, I have some experience in this. And the answer is I do. And I see this happening often in my work. Judges make decisions that they don't have any right to make. The lawyers know it. They talk about it.
But you've been around more judges than I have, but I think it's true when I've met judges just around Kansas and Missouri. Yeah. I mean, a judge is a pretty important thing. If you're down in Texas, I know when I used to sell software, we'd sell it to counties. There is a judge is like the superpower in a county in Texas. You don't mess around with judges in Texas. Do you think you kind of get to that position and you're...
Why in Texas it's like that?
Do I know why?
Yeah.
No. Do you know why?
Why are they superpowers?
It's just historically, they have maneuvered the system.
They can call a sheriff and go pick you up.
Yeah.
They can enforce what they're saying. But now look at this judge and make this decision. What's he going to do? Call a local sheriff, fly to Washington, D.C., and get this guy Trump and bring him back and put him in jail. See, he has no enforcement. In many of the situations that you're describing in Texas, the sheriffs report almost directly to a judge.
Yeah. You know, this harkens back.
Go pick him up, put him in jail.
Yeah. Yeah, this harkens back. We need to do this sometime on our program, is read the poem, which you and I have talked about, If, by Rudyard Kipling. And one of the lines is, if you if you can walk with kings yet keep the common touch. And it talks about being a man. And, I mean, Rudyard Kipling nailed it, because I think kings, and Trump has gotten to that point, we're so, when they get to the, when you get to such a level of power, you completely lose the common touch.
Well, I think it's the opposite. I think he's totally got the common touch. That's why he goes to football games, why he's gone to hockey games or talked about hockey games. He's now going to some other big wrestling match he's going to. I think he's right there with the common people. When you listen to him,
Bob, I totally disagree with you. I think he is, he likes billionaires and he likes people of power. And
by the way, I like power and I like billionaires. Does that make me bad?
No, but if you make your,
be around Musk.
If you would say this with a smile, if you would not hang around with me because I'm only a thousandaire, little joke play on words there. I'm maybe a thousandaire. I'm not even a millionaire. I was once upon a time, but, if you would make decisions that, I'm not going to hang out. I believe that the president, it's why he likes Elon Musk. It's why he likes, he has a lot of gold everywhere. And now in the Oval Office, he's got everything gold. I think he likes that pretense of power. And I don't think that's the common touch. I don't think it reflects. I don't think it reflects a common touch.
I don't call it pretense. I call it real. He has real power. As far as the common touch goes, he's president. If he has no common touch, it's still okay with me because I can see what he's doing. This thing that he's now doing at the Department of Education, people have been pushing that for years. Ronald Reagan was against that years ago. It's just never happened. No one has had the guts to do what he's doing.
I 100% agree. One of the things that I like about Donald Trump is that he's a man of action. He's full basketball analogies, a full court press. He is a fast break. He's going after stuff that gets him in trouble. The problem is that the good thing is 85% of the stuff he's doing is good, good, good. The 15% that damages him, that puts his popularity now, approval rating at 46%, is his style, which you and I have talked about, his words and his behavior and the way he just throws stuff out there like it's true.
Yeah, it's something that you have to deal with personally. For example, in my life, I fundamentally believe in outcomes. I believe that it takes assertive people, powerful people who don't care what other people think about them to get something done. Now, they lose friends when they do it, but they're outcome focused. That's how I am. I'm outcome focused, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think Trump cares for a minute what most people think of him, right? There's some people he wants them to think nice.
Well, he
about.
Wants praise. He has an insecurity that he needs praise.
I don't know what his personality traits are, but I know this, that what he does is what he says he's going to do. He was elected. He says, I'm going to get rid of the Department of Education. I'm going to review the tax code. I'm going to do this. And that's what he's done. He's getting this DOE out. And that's like a massive thing. Can you imagine the Democrats around the United States? They're scared to death about that because they've got all their hands in that educational money. I mean, it's billions of dollars. And the fundamental thing we've known for years, we're way behind in education, but we spend more money per student than any other country, but way behind.
Agree with you on the Department of Education. Absolutely. And you're right. This is a Dan. This is a Dan thing, the way that I receive and filter issues. And the part that I don't like, and you know, maybe you call it narcissism, arrogance, whatever. But when Donald Trump says 500 times or more on the campaign trail, I will end that war in one day. Now, let me finish. And he says, if I were president, Putin would never do those attacks if I were president. Now, number one, he said one day and it's taken long. That's fine. He's doing, at least he's getting it done. Biden didn't go after talking to Putin or trying to get peace. So I applaud him for trying to get it done. I don't like with arrogance that he says, I will end that in one day. And he said, listen,
you can live with process all you want.
And now, wait a minute. And he said, if I were in office, Putin would not be attacking. And Putin has attacked multiple times Ukraine. Putin's not afraid of Trump.
He believes that anyway. Now, he may be wrong. He may be wrong about what he's saying, but he's not afraid to say it. He's not afraid to say what.
Well,
he
that, that, see, you know, having held office. I don't like to say things, make promises that I know I can't keep. When you say that the cost of gas and the cost of living and inflation will go down on day one.
You can't live if you don't make promises you can't keep. Because that's the way entire
capital markets work. You can paint a vision. As leadership, you can paint a vision.
You've got to make promises. If you don't want to make promises, then you shouldn't be a leader in the first place. And you got to be outcome. You got to be outcome focused, and that's what Trump is. That's what Musk is. That's why so many people don't understand Trump, because most people are not outcome focused. They're process focused. They're focused on the process all the time.
Okay, so let me switching gears. This is now the Trump gold card, the $5 million. He's going to sell a million of them and get $5 trillion. And you heard him say, I just want to make sure when this come back, this he has said all the money from the Trump gold card to get you in under the, you know, alien access come in is going to go to paying down the debt.
Yeah,
that's what he said. I applaud that. I don't think he's going to get a million customers, but do you think that that whole program is going to be successful?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't think it's successful. And here's the reason why. Right? My opinion is not non-evidence-based, because other countries do it, but not at $5 million. You want to go to Australia, you got to show you have 100 grand in the bank. Why? Because they don't want to be paying for your hospital care.
Oh, so interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's true, right? And I have personal knowledge of that, because I talked to people that got into Australia that came from South Africa, and they have to show that they're financially secure, that they will not be a burden on the Australian government. Now, I've got a
special,
but my point is, I think what Trump has done there is, will the 5 million change? I think yes. Maybe it'll be 400,000 or 500,000 before it's finished, right? And the vetting will have to be significant, because otherwise every cartel guy from Mexico will be coming in here to become a...
Yeah.
So there's a lot behind that. I think he throws out ideas. He doesn't know if those ideas will all work. It's an idea. It's like the cryptocurrency idea. He's not afraid to talk about an idea, or, gee, we need Greenland. Okay,
Yeah, I don't see that as a horrible
idea. Not afraid
idea.
To do it.
I don't see, you know, obviously, to my Canadian friends, no disrespect, but I don't see that, we think this is the way it's always been. But if we changed North America and Canada was part, it would bring down the cost of living for Canadians, for Americans.
But who's against that? The pharmaceutical company, they're very much against it, because they make all their money in the United States. They sell the pharmaceuticals for hardly anything in Canada.
Oh,
we have people go to Canada to get their drugs.
You know, do you remember Bill O'Reilly, how he got his start? There was a TV show way back in like the 80s that Bill O'Reilly was like the investigative reporter. I'm going to ask Google this. Hey, yeah. Google, what TV show in the 80s or 90s was Bill O'Reilly an investigative reporter for?
Yeah.
According to Wikipedia, 1989 to 1995.
Current Affair.
Yeah, all right. So what's the point? There's a lot of issues.
Inside Edition.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of issues in Canada, but in my view, the chance of Canada becoming a state are remote. However, I believe Greenland will become a state before he leaves office. Denmark will give up Greenland because they don't need Greenland anyway.
It's hard to imagine such a major change in global geography, but I think...
Did you ever hear of the Louisiana Purchase?
Yeah, exactly.
Box?
You're right. The thing you said that's key is he thinks out of the box and big ideas, and there's nothing wrong with that. Again, on the flip side of that, I don't like his behavior and his words and the way that he puts down people.
I don't think you need to say that ever again. Let's just say, in general, forever.
For our people. For our people.
His behavior.
Our people that are listening. I don't want them to think I'm as much in love with the president as you are. So we can banter.
No, you don't like his behavior. At least you've come to the point where you're saying 85% of what he does I like, but 15% I don't like. I don't even know how you make that kind of division.
Well,
myself.
But here, let me give an example. President Bill Clinton, how will history record him? When you think of Bill Clinton, what will you think of?
A cigar.
Exactly. Is it? And that's sad because that's like.
That's all he did.
Well, that's
what
not
else did
true.
He do?
He balanced the budget. He reduced the national debt. He worked with the Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, and they did a lot of things together. And before Trump even talked about this whole DOGE, Clinton cut 200,000 jobs from the federal employment. So he should be remembered for positive things. And he was very aggressive in military.
I don't really care about Bill Clinton or how.
Well, I know. But my point is, my point is when people remember somebody, Donald Trump will not and, you know, necessarily be remembered for favorable unless he changes his unless he pivots and changes.
Oh, he's going to pivot and he's not going to change because that's who he is. And that is going to change. So if you don't like him today,
I want every president to succeed, and I want his legacy.
That's different, right? That's a different thing, right? Of course, we want the president to succeed. I believe succeed is on outcome based, not behavior, not what he says, but outcomes.
That's right. I understand. Because
so
why?
Because
you are transactional, and I'm relational.
No, that's too simplified. That's very much of an oversimplification. I'm very much relational, right? And by the way, transactional is relational because in order to carry on a transaction, what do you need? Two people that have some sort of relational connect to each other. Like it's like when what's your name? The MSNBC host, the woman who's so good at taking a dot and making a line. What's her name? Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
So she says, here's her kind of point. Putin. Now, listen, she points her finger out to everybody. Listen to me closely. Putin and Russia, Putin and Trump are best of friends. They're best of friends. They're having meetings and they're dividing up the world. They're best of friends. They're best of friends. I don't know.
So let's switch gears. Okay, because there's a rapid fire. Tariffs. I can understand. He doesn't explain it well at all.
Yeah.
He should have a sit down and the American people explain what he's trying to do. But he just sign this, sign that. We're going to do this. Attack of tariffs. Going to get you. We're going to get you. The long-term benefit of what he's trying to do, unfortunately, might take 7, 8, 9 years before you get manufacturing back in the United States, jobs back here. And in the meantime, I just think I don't understand how he doesn't think that how he thinks that China is going to pay the tariff versus the people that are actually buying the things in the United States, which will then raise the price of items in the United States. And it's a long term that will shift because we'll go less and less import and more homegrown products. What say you, Bob Sherwood?
Well, first, the concept of tariffs, his concept is really not that difficult. If we have a $400 billion deficit with a trading partner, he thinks that's incorrect. It should not be that much. And tariffs will help to change that. Now, as far as who pays for it, that would get into a very, very microeconomic argument, who actually is writing the check, right? In the final analysis in the entire world, consumers write the check for whatever happens because that's how economics is. Consumers do it. There may be 20 people in the middle. But I'm going to go back to your tariffs point because I believe the tariffs for him are simply a straw man. Tariffs will not work over the long term. Manufacturing is not coming back to the United States.
Isn't that sad? Remember when we used to manufacture stuff here? And then remember when.
That's not going to change because we don't even have the skill sets anymore. So it took us 30 or 40 years to lose manufacturing. My kids don't even know who Raytheon is. They don't know we built TVs in the United States for years, right?
In Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah.
Zena.
So it took us, you know, I've been talking about this issue of manufacturing since 1990.
I believe
and fundamentally,
that.
Fundamentally, it's not going to come back. We've lost the skill sets now. Oh, we might get a foreign company like Taiwan Semiconductor to build a plant here. We might get NVIDIA to build a plant here.
Honda switched.
Yeah, you know, remember when the foreign car manufacturers came over here in the beginning, right? Everybody thought they were going to fail. Now the foreign car makers, for the large part, make their cars in the United States. They're making them now.
Yeah.
So it's a straw. The tariffs are what I call a straw man argument. We have to get the balance of payments between a country to zero. Can it ever happen? I don't see how, when we depend on other countries for so many things. So I think it's a straw man. I think in 2 years from now, the concept of tariffs will be modified substantially. We won't be using a term like tariffs. We'll be using a term like balance of trade, how to balance trade, and the impact on currency.
Which is, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Once again, I'm not worthy. We should have been talking about balance of trade all along, not using the word tariffs. He should have been using.
Currency is what's going on in the background, right? Because you've got, when people trade between countries, right, there's a thing called arbitrage, right? And arbitrage is what's going on in the background, because that's what's affecting currency. And currency affects balance of trade as much as anything else. For example, if the dollar is cheaper than the Japanese yen, Japan's going to ship stuff to the United States and we're going to buy it. Because it's a currency transaction, right? If you look at Oracle just did an earnings report, and they talked about the impact of currency on their income statement and how that was a big issue. And it is a big issue. So when you have, even like Apple, when you have billions of dollars in overseas countries and you have a currency that's now more money than the currency in that country, they're losing money. They're not even doing anything, but they're losing money because the currency transaction itself. So if you could go out 2 years, people will become a lot more knowledgeable about balance of trade issues. Tariffs, in my mind, is a straw man for a while. It will change. And eventually, and this is the big idea between cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency on a global scale eliminates arbitrage. And arbitrage is one of the biggest factors in affecting balance of trade.
Well, you're more knowledgeable in crypto and Bitcoin. Now, so what do you think about that? There's measure of wisdom to shift some of the treasury to crypto.
Let me rephrase it. Why did Europe, who for years had German marks, French francs, English pounds, Danish krone, why did they go to a euro? Why was that important to them?
Because they wanted to take on the United States.
No, because trading between those countries became one of arbitrage. It became one of, I'll sell it to you, but I can't do it now because the francs are too heavy, franc are too expensive. There was too much currency issues going on. So the euro stopped that. So now all the countries don't have currency issues between the countries. It doesn't fluctuate like it used to. And I, having lived over there and we had businesses in every country, that was always one of the issues. Well, what's the dollar worth now in German marks? Because that affects what we're going to ship over there, what we're going to receive from them, right?
Right.
So what I'm really driving at will not happen in my lifetime, but I believe it will happen. There'll have to be a global currency. Is it crypto? Is it Coinbase? I don't know. But there'll have to be a global currency that we can trade between countries. And when that happens, then the whole issue of trade becomes a little simpler matter.
Like on Star Trek.
I don't know what happened on Star Trek.
I don't know what they have.
I'm talking about now, you have to really understand economics to understand what I'm saying, because people tend to oversimplify a tariff and they get involved in who's paying for it. Well, fact is nobody's paid for it yet, but we paid for it a long time ago when General Motors decided to build bumpers in Mexico. And we have unions over here and they have a lot of problems. So I'm up there in Michigan working with the mayor, and the mayor takes me to a plant that's equal to maybe 3 football fields. And in there is millions of dollars of equipment. That's where General Motors build bumpers. And the union said to General Motors, we want to get paid the equivalent of $80 an hour. And General Motors says, we can't afford it. The unions pushed them. Guess what? General Motors shut that place down. Now they build their bumpers in Mexico as well as other places. Now, what's happened because of that? The city of this particular city I'm talking about sold millions and millions of dollars of bonds that they guaranteed to build that plant for General Motors. Now, the lawsuit will never be settled, right? They're still making payments on it.
Wow.
Some of those bonds have probably been defaulted by now. But my point is that we have a very complex infrastructure now of unions and non-unions and skill sets. So bringing it back to the United States, I'd love to see it. But until we have more skills, we don't graduate enough computer engineers. We don't graduate people that are multilingual, but other countries do. Chinese people come over and speak English. We go over to China and wonder why they don't speak English.
Yeah.
Over there. You know, so anyway, there's just so many complicated issues that for my mind, this is where I'm a skeptic on. I'm saying, will there be some plants come back? Yeah. Will if Apple builds $500 billion of plants here? Yeah. You could argue that that's building things in the United States, that they're coming back, but it's not coming back because it's new manufacturing. All they're doing is not increasing their manufacturing in another country. So the impact of tariffs may not so much bring manufacturing back as cause companies who are manufacturing now in other countries to incrementally build their new manufacturing here. That's possible. But even that takes several years.
It is. I don't think the American people are patient enough to last through the higher prices and inflation of the tariffs program that Trump's doing. I can see long range, but I think there's got to be an alternative. There's got to be something in between.
So somewhere you said you connected tariffs with inflation. How did you do that?
Because the cost of goods will go up.
No. Did you? Are the tariffs in place now?
As Donald Trump has said many times on April 2nd, not April Fool's Day, because he's superstitious. Some of the tariffs are in place, but we're not going to recognize the costs until 60, 90 days out, 100 days out.
Well, I will make this prediction, is that the people that calculate inflation will not have the impact of tariffs on inflation rates. They don't have any kind of computer program to do that. You know, there's two big computer programs in the United States that compute inflation. When I know exactly, I used to know where they were, but one is in, let's just say, Wharton, and one is in another school. And they actually use their computer programs. They take all the CPI data and all the other data, and boom, their computer spits out, you know, the inflation, right?
Yeah.
Someday somebody's gonna get at that whole computation and say, it's just a bunch of crap. Maybe Musk will look at it and say, hey, we're going to have to use some AI here because these calculations aren't even correct. Anyway.
So anyway, okay, let's switch to a more moment this day, this tomorrow, this weekend, NCAA college basketball. Do you got a favorite?
I've already got my picks in. It's Houston.
Houston. Yeah. So did you use so we'll give somebody a I used both Capital One, ESPN, and Yahoo for my three different groups of picks.
I don't know anything about that.
So Houston, I had Houston in one, but I also had Florida. I also had Duke.
Yeah.
And one I had St. John's.
The president of NVIDIA, he put $1 million on Houston.
He did? How do you know that? Did he? Is that public?
Well, that's what he said he did.
Wait a minute. Do you, let me ask, going back to our initial, do you have personal knowledge that you saw him actually make that bet?
Well, that's something else. Personal knowledge doesn't necessarily mean you see somebody doing something.
Well, you say you know. Remember how we opened up this?
Yeah,
do you
right.
know?
Well,
so did you hear that?
No, I saw a quote from him.
Okay, so that quote stands. But all the quotes that say Russia attacked the hospital in Ukraine 6 hours.
Now you confused it again.
No, exactly same thing, buddy.
He didn't. Let me tell you the difference, Dan.
Okay.
The quote that I read, the president of NVIDIA said it, quote, blah, blah, blah. What you just said is somebody else reported that. That's different.
Well, Zelensky said and showed the film.
But again, you're confusing it. You see, the quote that I'm talking about is a non-biased quote. Nobody makes any money with
you. Kill me. You kill me.
No, but you got to make a distinction.
You kill me. You kill me, man.
A biased position and a non-biased position.
So you're, but let's go back to Houston. Yeah. You're saying Houston.
No, I'm not saying Houston. No.
Well, who do you think is going to be the, you think KU will win their first game?
Yes. And they'll lose the second game. That's what I predicted.
You think they'll beat Arkansas?
Yeah, they'll beat Arkansas. Yeah. But then they play Texas and they'll get beat by Texas.
I would like them to win, but they just seem something. They're not. They're like my last few weeks. They're kind of in a funk right now. Now Bill Self, great coach. I believe in him. He might be able to get them out of that. They could make a run.
Why would they make a run? How much money do you think? Who's our center? What's his name? Our center for KU. Oh my
God. Oh yeah, I can't think of his name. Big 7'2", whatever his name is.
So, why would he play hard? You know how much he makes NIL money?
I know. He makes like three.
Well, I heard $1.2
million. Okay.
What is he going to play hard for? It's got.
Well, because he wants to look good to the NBA scouts. Because right now, this year, he hasn't had a very good year.
He's going to be drafted. He's going to make one. He's already making $1.2 million. They're going to pay him $5 million, right? He's only thinking about one thing. I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, his agent's probably telling him that. So
what I'm driving at is that the entire landscape of basketball for me in college is over. I'm not interested in it anymore, except for betting, because none of these guys, it's not like the old days where they were really college people.
So this goes back to my basic premise. I'm sorry to interrupt, but a bet is a transaction with an outcome.
Hopefully, yes.
A relationship with your alma mater, that you are actually a professor there and graduated there, KU. You have a relationship with KU, so you should constantly cheer KU.
No, I don't agree with that at all. I at one time I was a big believer in KU, but I don't believe in college athletics because we don't have college athletics anymore. You know, Nick Saban was right. He says it's over. The guy who is the coach of Nebraska, he says, I can get the best quarterback in the United States. It's roughly $6.5 million NIL money.
Matt Rhule, my beloved Matt Rhule. So it'd be interesting. Closer to home, Missouri tonight is in Wichita versus Drake, where my son went. Drake. Yeah. Drake's 30-3 versus Missouri. Yeah. Missouri plays in the SEC, tough conference. What do you think? Got any prediction there?
Missouri.
I say Drake.
There you go.
With apologies to my...
who's rated higher?
I think Missouri.
Then I bet on Missouri then. I took all the high ratings.
Okay. Okay, folks. Well, listen. Yeah. You've been listening to Banner. We've been vacationing or other... I was in a funk and now we're back. We're back, folks. So, Banter... can, you know, follow us on YouTube. If you want to write us, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. Keep listening. Sure, and like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends about it. We're back, and we'll see you in a couple days.
Well, or sooner.
Anything you want to share, Bob, as we
that's it.
Ride off to the sunset. Okay, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.